Well, good morning, everyone. And unfortunately, we're back into the online only, but hopefully we will be back together soon. Let me start the service with a prayer. God and Father, Lord, we thank you for this day and your blessings and grace and mercy. God, let us pray for the ones right now in this church in particular. God, Pastor Lanny and his wife, and God, there are a few more. God, I just pray for all of them, and I pray healing on their bodies, and God, just give them rest. And God, I just pray that we'd all be able to come back together soon. And God, I just thank you for your son who you sent to this earth to die for us. And God, I just pray for this country. And I pray that your will would be done. And God, help us to know your will. And it's all your son's holy name I pray. Amen. I stand amazed.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sin and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransom in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. How I love Jesus.
1, 2, 3, 2, 2.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea.
soul how I love Jesus because he first loved me.
All right. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. And far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name. And it is well with my soul. It is well. With my
is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, well, lay down your heart, and come as you are. There's hope for helpless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Well, all who are broken, lift up your face. So lay down your hurt, well, lay down your heart, and come as you are. Come as you are, fall in his arms. Come as you are. There's joy for the morning, O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. For all who are broken, lift up your face. So lay down your hurt, well, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, come. come as you are.
Good morning and welcome to Osage Baptist Church, where we decided to have church remotely for the next couple of weeks just to try to be cautious and to protect our vulnerable, and you can appreciate that, I'm sure. But we'll be coming to you remotely, and I'm glad to have you this morning. I want to ask for prayer for the younger family, our pastor and his wife, Miss Gwen. She was diagnosed with coronavirus. Kim Howerton also, Mike Dishroon, Mike Heffley, and any others that I've probably forgotten or overlooked. But please be in prayer for them as they recover from this virus. Let's open in prayer, and we'll get started this morning. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for this season, this time to celebrate and be thankful for you and all you've done. God, I just pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are battling this virus, Lord. I just pray for your healing hand in their life. I pray for your blessing on their life and their families. Lord, be with me as I bring this message this morning. Give me boldness. Give me courage. God, give me animate me with your spirit. Father, we love you and praise you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, I've titled this message, Fear Not. Fear not. It sounds like a rather bold statement. It may even sound a little cliche, as we've heard sermons and even seen t-shirts that refer to this idea of not being afraid. If you remember back in the, I think it was the late 90s, there was a big logo, and it was this theme and a logo called No Fear. And you probably saw the stickers on people's vehicles and on their bumpers. And I think every redneck who had a pickup truck had this No Fear sticker on it. Everyone had a t-shirt or a bumper sticker or something that had this bold statement printed in these big blocky letters saying, No Fear. While it's one thing to say, fear not, it's another to actually be fearless, isn't it? It's easy to say. I mean, we're encouraged to be like David and conquer our giants, to be our own hero and face our battles head on. There are tens of thousands of books that have been written inspiring you to be courageous, be fearless, go for your goals in life, overcome your fears, be successful. And it all sounds really good, but there seems to be one major thing missing most of the time. It's the true motivation for fearlessness. It's one thing to say, fear not, but it's quite another to actually have a convincing enough reason to eliminate our fear. This morning, I want to explore some of the things that cause us to fear. And I want to conclude with some real inspiration from our Creator to fear not. Fear can be quite debilitating, can't it? Fear can be completely warranted as well as completely irrational at the same time. Have you ever met someone who has a fear of flight? This is a completely irrational fear, but if you try to convince that person who has the fear of flight, you would probably be met with a challenge. My daughter has a fear of spiders. Do you know of anyone who has died from a spider bite? I personally don't. Now, there probably is some, but it's possible. But I'm going to say it's probably just not likely. And this kind of reasoning has little bearing on the person that has arachnophobia, right? She carefully goes into the bathroom and inspects all the corners of the bathroom before she goes to take a shower. And, the comical part is, you know, she meticulously looks in these corners and crannies as if her mission was to find a spider. And then, she yells for Dad to come and take care of the problem. And it could be a tiny little dust spider that you can barely see with those little legs that look like human hairs. But it doesn't matter. When she yells, by the sound of her voice, she urges me, to come quickly. And I have these visions of a spider carrying her off as she's screaming for help. But when I get there, I'm always disappointed. And I look up in the corner of the shower, and sure enough, there's this little tiny spider, and I go get the fly swat, and I take care of the issue. But there's not enough supporting truth to warrant this fear, is there? I mean, it's an irrational fear, but you will not convince her of that. Trust me, I've tried. I can tell you, though, that most of our fears are irrational. They're unwarranted. Most of the things you imagine and dread will never, ever come to fruition. And this ends up being paralyzing, doesn't it? There are two things that are probably taking center stage in most people's lives right now when it comes to fear. Number one, the coronavirus. And number two, the state of our union. Both are very serious. Both are very real. Both are very concerning. So this virus is real. It is causing death. We all know someone who has died from it. I don't want you to hear me wrong. We must protect our most vulnerable. But at the same time, we must be informed. At the same time, we must be informed. If you're under 40, the likelihood of dying from COVID is less than 0.2%. That doesn't even register on the list of causes of death with the CDC if you're between or under the age of 40. In fact, if you're between the ages of 20 and 40, you're more likely to lose your life by taking it yourself than dying from COVID. Suicide between the ages of 20 and 40 are more likely than a death from COVID. We all know people who have gotten sick. We all know people who have died. This is a real virus, but we must remember that people have been dying since the beginning of time for some reason or another. And I don't say that to be callous, but if we're reporting every day, think about this. If we were reporting every day how many babies were killed, and we kept flashing charts showing the daily abortion rate in the U.S., wouldn't we be astonished? Would that change the perspective for you? And that number's far greater than those who have died from COVID. If we're truly concerned about public health, then let's stop murdering our babies. They're murdering them by the hundreds of thousands each year. In the U.S. alone, nearly 3 million people die each year. Here's a list from the CDC of leading causes of death in the U.S. in 2019, respectively: heart disease, cancer, accidents, chronic respiratory disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, diabetes, influenza, pneumonia, suicide. While there is a real risk for those over the age of 60, the reality is that you have a very, very small likelihood of losing your life to coronavirus. In fact, we've already seen many of our most vulnerable contact it and contract it and then get over it. They've recovered. You still have a much greater chance of dying from heart disease or cancer or one of many other reasons. The idea that when you contact or get coronavirus and it's an immediate death sentence is crazy. And that's what you're going to hear if you watch your local news, more than likely. With this pandemic, there are many people who are so worried right now about dying that they're willing to stop living. Who would have thought that we would have to, this virus that's so deadly, that we'd all have to go to this test station to get checked to see if we have it? The second concern, and what causes a lot of fear in people's lives right now, is what's going on in our country with the election fraud and the corruption and with these agencies that were established to protect our country from such tyranny. Many are wondering if the Democrats are going to get away with stealing the election and what that means for the future of our republic if that happens. This country was founded by those who were seeking religious liberty and the freedom to worship God rather than worshiping a king or a queen or even a political party. You see, we are to vote by our convictions, but our allegiance is first to God and then to our flag. But the two have historically been the same thing. Our flag was founded on God. The problem now is there's those who want to tear it down. They want to tear down the flag. They also want to tear down our religious liberty that this nation was founded on. They want to destroy our republic as well as the God that we worship. And they've been pretty successful. The primary way that they control people is with fear and deception. So those are the two major things that I think is driving fear in people's lives today. While the world seems to be spinning out of control, we must remember that God is in charge. He's still the Lord God who knows all things. And yet His message to you and I, even though He knows all things, His message to you and to me is to fear not. Fear not. He said it repeatedly. Jesus told us repeatedly to fear not. We discussed my last sermon about how God, He doesn't want us to be afraid of Him because perfect love casts out fear. And we should not fear because fear has to do with judgment. God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him along with all the other fears that we battle. In fact, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. We don't have to fear anything because God is with us. Remember, Jesus, He came to a people who were oppressed by the surrounding countries and governments. For years they were oppressed. They were expecting the Messiah to come and liberate them from the tyranny of Roman rule. But He didn't do that, did He? He didn't. They were looking for some military leader with some military coup to revolt against Rome. But that isn't what Jesus did. Not only did Jesus not liberate them from Roman rule, He was quite comfortable under Roman rule. Jesus didn't spend time pushing some political agenda and putting together some patriotic militia. That isn't what He was about. He said things like, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That's something separate, He's saying. That's something that has nothing to do with what my agenda is. He didn't revolt against the ridiculous tax plan that Rome had as they would steal tax dollars by corruption and deception. Christ was on a different kind of mission, wasn't He? He was on a much more critical mission. Amen? His mission was from above. Jesus came to set people free, but it wasn't from being oppressed and being controlled by a government. Jesus had a much bigger purpose than that. There will always be corruption. There will always be poor people. He told us this. There will always be oppression. There will always be sickness. He told us this. He came to set people free, but not from those things. He came to set people free from the law and the dead religious demands of it. And who the Son sets free, He is free indeed. Amen. Jesus came to set the captives free. Free from the law, because the law brings death, but the Spirit gives life. You see, the Jews, they weren't only under political and foreign oppression. They were under religious oppression, under the law and the religious leaders of the day. The Bible says that the law was a curse in Galatians. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a pole. So Jesus came and He set people free from lifeless religion, and yet they were still in bondage by political oppression and poverty, and corruption. His agenda seemed to be different than what it appeared that the people really needed. But God knows what we need, doesn't He? Remember also that Paul brought the gospel to the Gentiles, who in many cases, when he shows up, they're worshiping false gods. I mean, if you're thinking that America is too far gone, if you're thinking there's no hope for America and that there can't be revival in America, I would argue that point. I think America is primed and ready for a revival. But Paul shows up in Corinth, and these Greeks were so far off the rails that you and I believe we probably would have seen them and called for God to destroy them like Sodom and Gomorrah. Rome was the same way. Rome had no moral compass. They had no appreciation for liberty. They had no appreciation for human life or freedom. Rome was corrupt, and they were very harsh toward Christians. And yet, guess what happened? Christianity prevailed. America's headed in that direction. We are headed in that direction, but we're not even close, not even close to what these Greeks and these Romans were doing. Paul took the gospel message to them, and guess what happened? Amidst all of this false idol worship and the things that they were doing and the corruption and the deception and all the crazy things that were going on, revival happened. It happened. Paul took them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and revival happened. The church grew. God isn't giving up on America. In fact, I believe there's no better time to shine a light than when it's in complete darkness. I mean, you really can't appreciate a flashlight in the daytime, can you? It's in the darkest night where there isn't even any moonlight that you can really see the difference when you flip that switch. I believe America is primed and ready for the light to be switched on. Our darkest hour is when the light is the most intense. Amen. Now, I've shared this morning some of my heart, my personal opinion, but that doesn't matter. I want to share with you what really matters. I want to share with you straight out of God's Word the motivation and the real inspiration for us to have no fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets had gone into the world, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." So there's this spirit in the world today. And it's been in the world. And I think it's getting worse. And it's getting worse here, where we live. There's this tremendous spirit of deception. And it's coming from people and from places that we had thought we could trust. And we're having to question and test every spirit. I turned off the news. I had to. Because I was testing every spirit and I saw nothing but lies and deception. Verse 4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." Now, I'm not going to go into political parties, and I probably spoke more about politics than I should have this morning, but I believe if Christians don't get involved in politics, then we've just tossed the republic away. We've lost it. The founding fathers were Christians. This nation was a Christian nation founded on Christian principles. It's important that Christians be involved in politics, even pastors. But I've weighed in this morning enough. But you need to understand, the world listens to them. What's he talking about? The world listens to what? The world listens to these spirits. The world is listening to these spirits. These spirits are worldly. They're of this world. These spirits are not from above. And I'm not going to talk about political parties, but there are certain parties that it appears that one party is pro-God and one party is not. One party is pro-life and one party is not. And the list goes on and on. And you're starting to see this polarization of political parties. And you could even say that one is good and one may be for evil. Now, I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm not telling you what you should do with that. But I'm just stating that it's apparent that there is this battle between good and evil. I want you to notice here in verse 4, it says, "You, dear children, you, if you're a Christian, you have overcome them. You've already overcome them. The battle's over. You've already won. You've already overcome them. And then it talks about this world. They are from the world. Well, who is the prince of this world? Satan is the prince of this world. But it also goes on to say greater. Greater is Christ who lives inside of us than Satan who is in the world. Any spirit that is not for Christ is against Christ. It's anti-Christ. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Remember, I wanted to give you some motivation. The last time I preached, it was about Thanksgiving, and I gave you some real motivation from God's Word for authentic thanksgiving, for authentic thankfulness, not some conjured up or made up thankfulness, but some real motivation for our thankfulness. This morning, I'm going to give you some real motivation for us to have no fear. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then it says, "I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So in my last sermon, we did discuss thanksgiving, and this mentions thanksgiving again. But it's such a relief to know that we are at peace with God. When we really begin to understand the implications of this, it surpasses all other understanding, doesn't it? And it says right here, it protects our hearts and our minds when we know that we're at peace with God. And why should we be anxious about nothing? It says, because the Lord is near. He is with you. He is with you. Verse 8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Fear is a battle of the mind. It's a battle of the mind. I think isolation is the enemy here. I think that us being home and being alone and not having fellowship, I think it's a breeding ground for fear. He goes on in verse 9 to say, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." This is in Philippians. So it says to think about things that are excellent or praiseworthy. If you can't think of anything this morning that would be of excellence or praiseworthy, then just think of Christ. Think of Him. He is excellent, isn't He? And He is worthy of our praise. Amen? Christ is excellent and worthy of our praise. You see, we can have no fear when we realize that we aren't David, are we? We are not David, conquering our giants in life. When we realize that David is a type of Christ, and we are actually, here's who we are. We are that cowardice Israelite back in the crowd while another fearless man came forward. And he stepped forward and he defeated the giant for us. Amen. This is our motivation for having no fear. It's not because of us and our fearlessness. It's because of Him and His fearlessness. Amen? It's because of our confidence in someone else, the one who rose from the dead. Christianity isn't about your ability to overcome your fears. It's about how He has already overcome. We put our faith in the one who has conquered not only our giants, but He's also conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's already conquered everything we would be afraid of. Amen? This is our motivation to rejoice and to be anxious about nothing. This is our motivation to have no fear. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your boldness, for your courage, for your excellence, for what you did. Father, we put everything we have in you. All of our stake is in you and what you've done. All of our emphasis and our strength and our confidence is in your Son and his excellence, because he is praiseworthy. We can overcome our fears because he has already overcome the one who is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. We praise you, we love you, and we're so full of thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I would just encourage you, we're not having church here at this local building, but we are still having church. Amen. We are the church. You are the church. There are still things that can be done. There's still much need. If you want to give, we still have avenues to give online. We have an offering plate here in the church if you wanted to drop something off. But church still goes on. The church will go on. Amen. And I look forward to seeing you in person again. Next week, we'll do this again remotely. And then after that, hopefully, we'll be back together. Thank you so much.